Father, we thank you for the gift of worship which you've placed inside of each one of us. We are here to glorify you, to worship our Maker, our Lover, our King. We thank you for Eden, whom you've given these gifts to enable others to approach the throne of God through his leading of worship and through the songs you've birthed in his heart, which speak to both Christian and non-Christian alike. So as he leads us, Lord, tonight in a time of worship and testimony and praise, we ask that you would just come especially and move in our hearts and in this place. Because we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to hand this over to him in a moment to introduce. Or are you going to speak from here? Yeah. And I'll just give you him a quick plug. They have CDs at the end afterwards. £7 each, three different CDs that he's recorded over time. And I suspect he'll talk more about that in due course.
Hi everyone, it's wonderful to be here. You can probably tell by my accent, I'm Australian. But back here for a couple of years with my wife Beth, who's English, and before we head off on mission too. And just in this crossroads time, I had the good fortune of meeting Bimbi, like he said. And not only great conversations, but a wonderful, surprising walk among the bluebells. I don't know if some of you have seen the photos in the sermon Bimbi gave, but that was quite a magical time of blessing, actually. Today I'm going to be leading some songs of my own and sharing about them and my testimony, but we're going to start off with a couple of praise songs. So I'd like to invite you to stand. Let's begin by praise, because I really hope tonight could be a time of just connecting with the Lord. Our spirits. Now, whether you know the songs or whether my songs will most likely be new to you, but the purpose of tonight is for our spirits to connect with God's Holy Spirit. The Holy. Jesus, we praise you for who you are. Welcome your Holy Spirit here now, Lord, as we praise you.
Thank you.
Psalm 30. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his, and praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. I wanted to share this verse because we just sang about being desperate for God. A few years back, I was desperate for God. I was very, very sick with an incurable stomach illness called ulcerative colitis that involved massive loss of weight, massive blood loss, hospitalizations, blood transfusions. If you've heard of Crohn's disease, it's similar, and I had it quite badly, probably an understatement. And in that time, I always hung on to this belief that God was there, God wasn't forsaking me, and that there would be hope and that I would find healing with this. And often it felt against the odds. And it often felt like really persisting. One morning, in the middle of all that, I woke up and those verses I just read just jumped out at me. The beautiful thing about the Psalms, as you all well know, I'm sure, is that they hold the balance of this lament and this praise together. They hold them together. It's the reality of life, which isn't all a bed of roses, is it? But then the reality of God's faithfulness at the same time. And for the psalmist to rise up in the Psalms and say, Lord, despite all this, great is your faithfulness. For that message to be coming through again and again in different ways. Sacrifice of praise. So one morning I just woke up and saw those verses I've just read. God just gave me a tune for them, so I'm just going to play that to you. Psalm 30.
Sing to the Lord, O you saints, and praise his holy name. Sing to the Lord, O you saints, and praise his holy name. For his anger lasts a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. And though our sorrow may last a nighttime, in the Lord we will sing, Lord. In the Lord we will sing, Lord. In the morning we will sing our songs of joy.
Let's do that again, and quite easy if you want to join in.
Sing to the Lord, O you saints, and praise his holy name. Sing to the Lord, O you saints, and praise his holy name. For his anger lasts a moment, but his
one passage that really spoke to me in the Bible around that time was the story in Luke of the woman with the issue of blood. How she pressed in to Jesus. She pressed in through the crowd so she could press into Jesus. Jesus was on his way to visit Jairus. Luke says, as Jesus was on his way, the crowds almost crushed him. And a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her, was there. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. It was a time for me with this illness I went through, wanting that immediate, if I just touch the Lord, I will be healed. And I'll be honest with you, there were times people prayed for me and I had the faith and I thought I would be healed, and I wasn't. But one thing that the Lord really put on my heart was a sense of desperation, not to give up. And healing, as I'm sure your Pastor Bimby has shared with you, is something that comes in so many different ways. We don't always understand, but we do know that the Lord can heal and does heal. And in my case, my dear wife and I, when that I was really sick, we just kept trying different things, and we even went to in Australia, you know, if they get a guest speaker from the States, it's a really big thing, and they had the big conference with this guest healing preacher from the States. We went for 3 nights when I was really ill, so it was quite an effort to get out there. And every night at the end of his talk, he would call out different things. He would say, there's someone here, you know, with a hearing problem. There's someone here with a sore back, with a sore shin or something like that, you know. It was so specific, but he never in 3 nights called out anything to do with the stomach. And I just kept saying to Beth, surely tonight he will call out something to do with the stomach. And no, lo and behold, the end of the 3rd night, he finished. And I said, I can't believe this. What's happening, Lord? You told me to come. And we actually just said to each other, let's just go and find him. And he was leaving the conference center. We found him on the steps and tapped him on the shoulder through the crowds and said, can you pray for us? You know, really sick here. And he laid hands and prayed on me for me at that point. And I think I did get a bit better at that point. I didn't get fully better at that particular point, but it was almost like a glass, and you had to keep pouring water into it. And that night was certainly more water going into the glass of healing for me. I felt like that woman. It was a time of desperation. So I've written a song called Edge of His Garment. In my case, it didn't feel like just touching. It felt like having to hang on.
Don't let
I was singing that, then I realized, you know, it's not just a song for me, for my illness I went through, but, you know, for so many situations in our lives. But we really need to reach out to the Lord and hold on. So I hope that has spoken to you. Talking about healing, as I was better over the years, and the Lord has done a marvelous work of healing. I started thinking about healing in a bigger way. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, in the whole Bible, is the little verse at the beginning of Mark chapter 1. It says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. You know, often growing up, I used to think of the kingdom of God as something that would come simply one day in the future. It was a distant hope and dream. More and more realizing that the whole plan of Jesus is to bring heaven to earth, bring transformation here and now. That this kingdom is already among us, even in seed form. And something I read from a theologian said, the translation of kingdom in modern day terms is more like reign, the reign of a king, and actually the healing reign of a king. And so that therefore what Jesus is announcing at the beginning of his ministry is that the healing reign of the king has begun. That's a really beautiful thing. Many of you might know the books The Lion and the Wardrobe by C.S. Lewis. And if you do, you may recall when the children do stumble into the frozen Narnia. The land is under the endless spell of the White Witch. But already something is happening. The endless winter is starting to change. The snow is starting to melt from the trees. The lakes are already starting to show signs of cracks. And green shoots are coming through the snow. And it's rumored among the animals who happen to talk that Aslan is on the move. And Aslan is the Jesus figure. He's the lion. He's the Lion of Judah in the parable. And this is a song I wrote with that lion in it. And the pictures we're going to play were by a friend of ours who is a photographer. We were living in Melbourne, where you may remember about 6 years ago there were terrible bushfires. You probably saw on the TV. Lots of people died. People lost their homes. And it wasn't far from where we were living. We were fortunate to be okay. So many of the areas of bush were completely devastated, as you can see there. Nothing left alive at all. And yet, driving up through the bush, not long afterwards, really only a matter of weeks, it became apparent that already nature was renewing itself. This friend of ours took these photos and made this video for this song. The term deeper magic is from The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, where Aslan says later in the story, when he rises again, he says, well, the witch thought she'd finished me, but she only knew the deeper magic. But she didn't know the deeper magic from beyond the dawn of time. And that's when the sacrificial death of Aslan is able to overturn the curse of evil over the land. So that's why it's called deeper magic.
Way out of shape. thicken your skin? Did they drug you? And then did they promise you you were away? Have you heard on the wind distant murmurs of spring? Are they Sayas land is on the move? And the people in caves are beginning to pray. They say that he will be here soon. To banish the night and to make all things right. To color the earth in his song. But the most precious thing is it's already spring. It was buried right here all along. Of spring, are they say Aslan is on the move? The people in caves are beginning to pray. Are they say that he will be here soon to banish the night and to make all things right, to color the earth with his song? But the most precious thing is it's already spring. It was buried right here all along. It was buried right here all along.
It's from my new CD, The Unbreaking, and it's called You Came By Yesterday. You know, Jesus came 2,000 years ago. It might seem a long time ago. So much has happened in the meantime in history, hasn't it? You know, when you consider that God's perspective on time is yesterday. If you consider even what we know about archaeology and ancient civilizations, it's yesterday. And this kingdom he announced, it's so fresh and so new. This is written almost from the memory of a disciple.
So you came by yesterday with your piercing eyes and your gentle face. You taught us music from we learn to sing. As it is in heaven, release your rain. Come wash us all. As it is in heaven, release your rain. Let the streams run. Thank you.
Conference at our church several years ago, and this was in Australia, and the conference was on the poor. My wife worked as a missionary with Jackie Pullinger, some of you have heard of her, in Hong Kong, with the poor, with the drug addicts, and we were doing a conference all about ministry to the poor, and Beth asked me, can you find a worship song or two about the poor that we can sing? It may be different now, but back then, there wasn't many in our cabinet of songs about that topic, and so like always, gentle encourager, she said, can you write one? Can you write one for the conference? But that encouragement was a good thing, because we wrote this song, When I Was Hungry. It's based on Matthew 25. Parable of the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison or go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers, you did for me. He goes on to say the opposite. Whatever you didn't do for one of the least of these, you didn't do for me. And that's the separation. Funnily enough, it's one of the only times Jesus is talking about judgment in his parables. It's about how we treat the marginalized. And if we're talking about the kingdom and how we actually are part of what God is doing in this world, the marginalized, the poor, the wretched, gathered together, the ones Jesus went to. We have to say, Lord, help us to be part of this. It's not always easy. We don't always know how it might look in our lives or how we might fit it in, and it will be different for so many of us. But the heart orientation has to be, Lord, use me. Lord, help me see those you see. Help me love them with the love that you have for them. Wrote this song, not because of being experts on this, but because of the challenge that we ourselves feel. And I was hungry. Thank you. Wonderful thing I love about our Lord is that he challenges us, but he doesn't leave us alone. He doesn't leave us at the bottom of a hill of discipleship to somehow climb and wondering how we could ever get there. But he leads and guides and strengthens us along the way. And this next song was also written for a conference. We'll jump this one. We'll go to the next one. And it was the Holy Spirit conference. And Beth was leading a workshop. She asked me, she said, can you write a song about the Holy Spirit as counselor by tomorrow? I said, no way, love. No, it's late at night and I can't write songs that quickly. But I think God honors our efforts, and I once again just got on the guitar and came up with this song. And when I played it to her, we both didn't know if it was the right one, because so many of the Holy Spirit songs are joyful and full of praise and worship. But this song was... it was subtle, it was challenging, and it was melancholy almost. But then I realized that's why it was about the counselor, because when we need the Holy Spirit as our counselor, it's not because we're triumphant, it's because we need the help. We need the light. So I'll play this song. And the verse that inspired this too was John chapter 14, verse 18. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you.
On your own.
between that song and the next one. And it's about hope. It's about waiting on the Lord. The next song is simply a couple of verses from the end of Psalm 27. You may know them. I'm still confident of this. See your goodness in the land of the living. I just feel like praying. I'll just pray now. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for your promises. We thank you, Lord, that you give each of us, like the psalmist, that confidence in our heart, in our deepest place of faith in our heart, that we will see your goodness in the land of the living. And what that means for each of us right now, I don't know, Lord. I'm only visiting here today. But, Lord, I lift everybody in this church to you, Lord. The hopes and the prayers and the intercessions on their heart, in their life. And I pray for each person here, Lord, to be able to wait on you, be able to wait confidently and wait. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint.
See your goodness in the land of the living.
I've sort of gone down into the valley in terms of life and with his songs, and now just to finish, we've been coming back up with the last couple. And this last one I want to play you is a song called Your Love is Beautiful, and it's all about the goodness and the grace. And again, it was one I wrote while I was sick. It's not about the suffering, this one. It's just about the faithfulness and the knowledge that we can't do anything to deserve this incredible grace that we've been given through Jesus Christ. To you. This is praise. I'm going to sing it again.
Your praise.
Your love is wanting.
Savior and King.
I tell you, for people who hadn't heard those songs before, I really sense the spirit of worship in the house. So thank you, and thank you for this time to come and share with you. It's been a blessing for me. Are we going to have one final song? I think we're going to have a final song where we all sing together. I think if we all stand. Yeah. I chose this one when I surveyed. I don't know why, it just was on my heart. Because really, this is what it's all about. So I'm not singing the really old version. I'm singing another one. Probably not.
Thank you so much, Eden. It's just been a time of, I just wish more people had been here from our church, but we have recorded it, and hopefully we'll be able to bless people. Either can we put it on our website as a podcast? Is that okay? Thank you, and people too, and maybe even get it on a disc, because thank you for the teaching, and it's wonderful for people to hear that sometimes it's out of the suffering of our lives that God births creativity, God births new life, God births hope, which is wonderful. Now, I haven't finished yet, because when I met Eden, he was on retreat to pray through, he and Beth were thinking of where to serve the Lord next. I think you've been a lawyer in Australia, working with the marginalized in advocacy, wasn't it? And he and Beth have this burning passion to go out to serve the Lord where he's calling them, and they think it's South America. So they're hoping to go with Latin Link to Chile shortly. But I wonder if we could just have a word from you both. What's calling you to go to oops. You can tell I didn't put this together. That's it, yeah. I think he might be bringing another mic. Yes.
One.
Thanks, Malcolm. Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
Just share a bit about what's calling you, why you're going to, decided to go to South America in particular. And maybe also link back, I don't know, to what you told me you were doing in Australia before.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. For many years, Beth and I have had a heart to work with the marginalised, and we were doing that in Australia for years in different ways. We were foster parents before we had our own daughter, teenage boys. We sort of started the opposite way around, I think. I worked with people with disability, and Beth was running a house for girls who were homeless or who couldn't live at home. And just sort of a path emerged, and really through Beth initially, because she had this dream that was based on working with the street kids in South America. Do you want to say any more about that?
I watched some documentaries when I was a teenager in the UK, and just about situations of at-risk kids in Central and South America, and felt very burdened by that, and that I wanted to do something to respond. And God, you know, in our journey in the Lord, it's all about trying to hear what burdens He wants to place on our hearts, like callings. A burden, sometimes we think of that being an oppressive thing, and it can be, but burden is also just a calling or a passion. For something in Him, and something that I guess was on my heart even from before I was a Christian, then just sort of grew when I became a Christian, and that is for children who've experienced trauma. And you know, we don't ask to get born into the world, and we're born into whatever family that we end up in. And I know I have had a very privileged upbringing, and I really grappled with that as a teenager about justice before I was a Christian, about how unfair the world seemed to be. And when I gave my life to Jesus, that gave me a framework of God's justice, and actually His heart to bring justice, not just in heaven but actually on earth, as Eden was talking about. So I've been on that journey, and Eden and I have been on that journey together through fostering and looking after kids in Australia.